This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Sharon, please.
Yes. Mister?
Yes.
Carol,
yes.
Shelfire.
Yes. Okay, motion passes. Superintendent's report. Superintendent.
Okay. So I just would like to say that we just had a wonderful dinner at the senior dinner with parents over at the Sons of Norway, and that was really fun. My first senior dinner. So it was fabulous, and this was one of my first classes here when I came. So it's fun to see them all grown up and ready to move on. It's exciting. Lots of things going on in the district, and I'm not going to take everybody else's reports. I'm sure they'll have lots of things to tell you, but we're just moving through lots of hiring going on this spring with all the changes and shifts happening in the district, but it's exciting. A lot of work, so we're working on that this spring. And then the ongoing legislative fund, which still being held where it is, and we really still don't have a final number for our district, and it's very frustrating. I do believe there's supposed to be another opportunity for public testimony on Thursday of this week, just for people to know that, and I can get some information out to people about that. We've actually heard back from Les Guerra about that, and he's encouraging people to re-email and re-phone call and continue to keep things going. It's pretty much a stalemate right now, and I think people are pretty frustrated who are trying to work on it, as frustrated as we are trying to deal with it. So that's happening, and I will get information out to people about that, and maybe we can even put some information on the website about that if people want that. Could be helpful. But other than that, it's spring, and we're moving through, and it's going well. So that's all I have for now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Maintenance report, Daniel Tate.
Well, our superintendent says it's spring, but where I'm sitting, it already looks like summer. Currently, our custodians, Rands and myself, are readying the district for Mayfest and graduation. Everyone has been out in force, and the place is slowly taking shape. Rands even mentioned that he was going to start power washing tomorrow, and whenever we get things power washed, it sure makes a difference out there. So we're looking forward to that. Some projects of note this past month. Rands rebuilt the district office steps on both ends of the building. Fantastic job there. We removed the championship award boards in the gym. We're anticipating the arrival of new hanging pennants. That should be here next week. The new pennants will be more easily and safely updated, and hopefully more timely updated in the future. From what we had up there. And we just started assisting the elementary staff with moving the classrooms as they are doing an organizational shift in their classrooms and hallways. So I'll leave those details to Terry if she wants to mention that. For the actual summer itself, we have looked at the way we've deep cleaned our classrooms in the past, and we are looking at new ways to make the process more efficient and more consistent with respect to quality. I'm introducing a team-centered approach whereby the custodians will work collectively and methodically together instead of the independent method which has been used in the past. In the past, our custodians have generally deep-cleaned their own rooms that they service during the school year, and they do that at their own pace and at their own level of quality. This year, though, I'm going to start them out where they're going to work together in each room, sharing their duties and drawing from each other's strengths, and as they learn the best techniques from each other. I believe that we're going to have a more quality, consistent deep clean of their classrooms, and it'll be more easily tracked by me. We mapped out the first 5 weeks for the middle school and high school for the deep cleaning, and then the next 3 to 4 weeks for the elementary after that. And that leaves the month of August to finish up our common spaces and the hallways and to generally be available to staff as they come back for the new school year. Rands and I will be busy with the summer preventive maintenance, and we have several projects lined up. This is the time of year where we do our boiler cleaning and tuning. The hot water makers get flushed, the roofs and the ground maintenance has to be done, pump and valve maintenance, fire sprinkler and extinguisher inspections. These are all the items that require generally a full shutdown of our system so we can attend to those things. We're looking at about 5 solid weeks of work right there on that. Once that's out of the way, we can start looking at some of the projects that we need to do. The high school shop gets a biannual deep clean. That's always a fun job when we get up in the rafters and we try to blow everything out. All the dust and metal grime that's up there. It's a big job. The borough will be over to assist Rands and I by moving some earth away from the skirting at the elementary school. We're finding that the earth is compacting in on our skirting and pushing it underneath the building. We're going to get that dug back out, make it plumb, and then reinforce it, so hopefully we won't ever do that again, or at least it'll be many years before it happens again. We have some work to do in the chemistry and biology labs. We're going to be replacing propane gas fixtures this year. We also have 2 new basketball backstop winches to install. Plus, there are many, many small projects that we need to attend to, and they're just too numerous here to detail for you tonight. At this time last year, the remodel seemed somewhat daunting to all of us. However, in some ways, this may be even a more challenging year for us. Last year, we worked with just one contractor, and this year, we're going to have multiple contractors. We've got 2 carpet contractors coming in, a fence contractor, a cement contractor, various electricians coming in. I believe I built a reasonable schedule that's comprehensive yet flexible to handle whatever the summer might throw at us. So at this point, all I can ask you is to wish me some luck that it works out. Is there any questions?
How's the bus search
coming? We actually found one. We purchased a 2005 carryover, so it's actually a 2004. I believe it has 20-odd thousand miles on it. And we bought, it's going to have a 30-day bumper-to-bumper warranty on it, I believe. And we didn't go with the powertrain warranty, as I recall. Correct. So low miles, and it should be in great shape. Pardon me?
Cost again of that one?
36?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't bring the details with me tonight. I kind of slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I can present that to you at another time if you like.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Principal's report. Principal Tolan.
Good evening. It's nice to be here on this spring evening. And it's fun in the elementary school. Kids are all happy. Teachers are all happy. Just the sunshine and the warm weather, it's good for all of us. So, some things that are going on and have gone in the elementary school. Right now we have a lot of our artwork around town, and that's up for May Fest. And big thank you to Marina Whitaker and the Pi volunteers for putting that up for us. And we had our early childhood fair with lots of families and children, and it was very successful. We also had a very successful migrant education night. Miss Carrie Curtis and Adrian Bunton were in charge of this, and there was beautiful decorations, good food, fabulous prizes, and most importantly, lots of good information. It was well attended, and they did a fabulous job in presenting information and letting kids have a good time and celebrate reading, and it was good. We've had our preschool visits to this elementary. That's always a fun thing to see the little preschoolers come in. They come with great anticipation and big eyes, and we're just always glad to have them come in. We also had our DARE graduation for our 5th graders, and a huge thank you goes to Officer Pop for the time that he has put in with this program, and the kids absolutely loved it, and I think he absolutely loved it as well. We had Staff Appreciation Week, and I need to thank our PI organization, our Partners in Education. They gave us food and flowers and massages and catered a meal for us, and we also need to thank the school board for the wonderful breakfast on Friday morning that was enjoyed by so many of us. Thank you. Our hiring committee has been busy reading applications, and we will be having interviews this Thursday and Friday, and so we'll hopefully have three positions filled in the very near future. Coming up, we'll have a Title I family night and celebrate that with Miss Curtis, Mrs. Martin, and Mrs. Willis, and they'll be putting that on. We have our hot dog cookout, our end-of-year assembly, field day, lots of beach walks and picnics, and as always, families are more than welcome and to come and participate. It's a fun time, and hopefully this weather holds, and we'll have really nice weather to do those beach walks. So that's all I have. Did you have any questions for me tonight? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Principal Dormer.
Good evening. Wow, what to say. To piggyback on what Terry said, thanks again for the breakfast, of course, for the board. We appreciate that. A big shout-out, thank you. We are not as fortunate. We don't have the parent of the pie group, which is so cool, very envious in the secondary world. So we had our ladies just make a bunch of phone calls. And thank you again to the community, kind of through the microphone here, so much. Lots of just treats brought in for the staff, and I really appreciate that. That means a lot because they're running in and out, grabbing food, and going back to the classroom, and it's fantastic. So we appreciate the community support. Just a very clear message. They do appreciate all the work our staff are doing every day for the kids. That's awesome. Going through some hurdles here. Big thanks to Counselor Etcher. She has gotten through testing this year for the most part. Just finished the three AP testing. We have AP Bio, AP Calc, and AP English test just wrapped up over the last couple weeks. And a congrats to her because it's been an additional load with the, of course, the AMP testing was new and led by other people, but also the SAT and the ACT now during the school day, as well as we've kept most of those weekend ones. So it's been a busy testing year. So we're done. That's fantastic. Also some great music concerts, middle school and high school, hopefully several of you attend. I thought they were fantastic. Congratulations, Mr. Leonard, and of course to the students and their families. A really, really enjoyable middle school recently, and then the high school the week before that. So great music, great choir, all good stuff. So that was really enjoyed those. I always do. Which are nice. Also, you've probably seen some of that and heard a lot about Ian Fleming with the science fair going and winning first place in environmental science at the national level. So cool. But also maybe from my desk, just say thank you, Mrs. Johnson, Joni Johnson, just as Ian Fleming did a fantastic job. We're so proud of him. But also, you know, she's just such a driving force behind that success, and that's really cool. So to say thanks to Mrs. Johnson and what she has done over the years. So, so fantastic for Petersburg and for the Flemings, and awesome. We've recently also had some great ceremonies. Our Honor Society kids going in, new Honor Society of the high school, fun to see those kids joining the ranks, new National Junior Honor Society, the middle school kids going in. That's Mrs. Johnson and Mrs. Etcher, respectively, so pretty cool. And again, just great to see those groups of kids achieving and being recognized for that in front of the student bodies. That was fun over the last couple weeks. Neat stuff there. The administrators, along with a couple teachers, did the Edivation training, and just want to report, I thought that was a really useful day of time working with a couple trainers. So Edivation, this has to do with the teacher evaluation system, which is in transition this year, and we'll be starting a newer version as mandated by the state next year. So that was useful, and I just kind of, I guess, putting that out there, I'll let you know that we are slowly but surely working our way towards a newer system that's going to be good for staff, I think, and helping them just become better professionals. It's good. So it was a good step, a useful training. Appreciated that time. In-service was great, too. Some really neat thoughts. There was a session there we were able to get, and it kind of expanded with teacher in-service a couple weeks ago, and some neat thoughts just about, it was neat to have the secondary staff talk about maybe some of the things that they wish we were doing better as far as connecting with kids and working with. Some great ideas about possibly changing grade checks in high school from 4 weeks to 2 weeks, just allowing kids to do it more often, and a chance that, oops, if they do make a mistake, it seems like it's not such a penance, it's not this long sentence, but there is a chance to get back in the classroom and get things taken care of. That's great. They just came from the staff, just brainstorming. Really appreciate that. Some great thoughts about supporting freshmen. A lot of bigger schools have freshman academies. It's such a tricky year. And we do a lot of work with fifth graders going into sixth grade. We just heard about kindergarten orientation. But that freshman year, they're just so much older, and I don't think we realize, but it's a tough year. And so some great conversations will continue moving forward about how to support freshmen as they enter high school. So, again, I just really appreciate the staff that we can sit down and really knock out some ideas that started from, you know, just nothing and kind of expanded into some pretty good things. So that was very useful over our recent in-service days. And then finally, just a note, lots of questions, I think, about high school, particularly about having a schedule yet and just getting that word out there. And if board members, you're asked, or of course, if you're on the radio listening, the idea, just that we are, this is really comes from state down, not having the finances, not knowing where we're at, not knowing where we're at to hire teachers sooner, and so we just don't have a schedule. If I was in charge of the world, we would have had a schedule before spring break, but it's unsettling, but we're just doing the best we can. They're going to have a schedule, kids are going to go to classes in the fall, and everything will be fine, but a lot of people are asking because it is, it's late, and we don't love it, but we're just doing the best we can and trying to get all the ducks in a row to make that decision. So people are asking, it really bases with the state, and it's just a trickle-down effect, and if people have really serious questions about what's being offered and what, we're always welcome to call or stop by. That's my report. Any questions?
Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Hey, Activities Director's report, Mr. Cabal. I have to say congratulations. I think the last time we had you in from yes. or the last meeting, you were headed out the door.
Jumping on a ferry to get baby number three, and what a surprise. Holy moly. I'm still in shock that it's a girl. So. Yeah, still in shock. Yes, yes. I'm used to getting used to the pink, and I think that our anesthesiologist was way more excited just yelling, "It's a girl." And Heidi's, "Go check, go check." Yeah, it was an intense 5 minutes. So, but yes, good evening. We just finished our last home event last weekend, which is a tiny fist pump for me, but it's about 80 days till we start up again. So track and field starting July 29th. We're ready to rock. But we have baseball. Great home weekend. If you missed out, that was some great weather as well. And I think I got a message from Matt Lenhart. He was hiking Raven's Roost and heard this loud scream, and I think it's when Ethan Briner hit a home run. Mm-hmm. And so he said he could hear the crowd from up there just echoing all the way up on top of there. So I thought that was kind of cool. That was pretty neat. And I just said, you probably have the best view looking down on there. So great weather for home baseball games. Baseball will be headed to Juneau this weekend. Track and field headed down to Ketchikan. Track and field about another 2 weeks of their season. They're going to regions next week, then baseball regions 2 weeks after that in Juneau. And the season coming slowly to an end as far as all activities. Middle school track did a heck of a job down in Ketchikan, down at their track meet. They did fantastic. And I think Mr. Dormer got some good pictures of his daughter looking off to her side, running by, checking out, where, seeing where the other racers are. And I think they beat a couple high school kids. So it was kind of cool. Kind of cool for our little tracksters down there. But as far as everything else, we're kind of boring. Planning on March, my calendar's on March 2016 right now, so looking at some stuff for March and just anticipating the new switch to our new seasons next year and counting up our participation numbers in the high school, making sure our participation numbers are up and everything. And Mara, I think you missed last time I found that for you. I can give you the participation numbers for middle school and high school. I think we had 84% in the high school participating in one or more, and then the middle school 82% participating in one or more. So they're staying active, which is always good. So, oh, and Dan Tate found notes. 23,000 miles on the activity bus, and $31,000 was the cost on that one. So just to verify, he found it. Yeah. Short one for me. Any questions? Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy the sun. Jay Lister, thank you for umpiring 5 million baseball games at Little League. You are the man.
Wow.
P.S.
I don't know. Umpiring is kind of a dangerous. Okay, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. It looks like on May 18th, we'll have student recognition and reception after at 6 p.m. and that'll be the high school commons. And then after that, the board will be having a special board meeting at 6:30 in the high school library, and we'll be going over the 2015 budget revision, as well as hopefully having a budget presentation for the following school year, 2016, if we know any. Do what we can. The 25th of May, no school. It's Memorial Day. June 3rd is graduation at 7 p.m. at the high school gym. And hopefully all, if not most of us, can attend graduation. And then the 4th is the last day for all students. 5th of June is the last teacher work day. And then our next board meeting is June 9th. So we'll need to set the board agenda before that.
the Monday before? Is that the first?
Let's see. Look at the
first or the Friday.
That's the first or the fifth.
The first is on Monday.
I can do the first if that works for your first open.
I think that's fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll do it the first. Is there a time that's better than the other? Is afternoon?
Morning's
better.
Well, I mean, it seems like, yeah.
Okay, fewer interruptions. Okay. How about, could we do it right after school starts? Is that too difficult? Like right at 8:30?
No, come right.
Okay.
Then.
Okay.
Perfect.
8:30 on the first. Who can also do it? Anybody else?
In the evening, I can't really.
But, you know, just setting the board agenda.
It would be June 1st at 8:30 in the morning, right after drop-off. You could do it? Okay, great. Mara, we'll do it.
During the what?
What is?
Oh, is it, it's that Monday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what time is it over?
What time does it start?
9.
Oh, so.
It could be a quick, I don't know.
8:15?
Yeah, sure, right after drop-off. 8:15? Yeah, if I can get out of work. Sure, let's 8:15 then, by the way. That works, Mara?
You can always stay with me if it doesn't work.
Okay. All right, we'll shoot then June 1st, 8:15. Campus connection on the 9th. I am 99.9, so I'm about the tickets, but we'll be gone for that board meeting, so. And I would be gone by the 9th, so. If someone, a couple other people can do campus connections, that'd be great. Okay. Mara?
I am not going to commit to anything for the summer because I don't know when I'll be working.
Okay. Well, we can see if maybe Meg can do it when she gets back. So Mara will at least. And then our regular board meeting, the 9th, evening of the 9th, at 7 here in the Borough Assembly Chambers. Okay. Oops. Okay, old business. Mr. Cabral? He's hiding behind Mr. Dormer. Okay, student activities drug testing update. Activities director Mr. Cabral has additional information for the board on this topic since his January presentation.
All right. Did some more research and got a hold of Tongass Substance Services down in Ketchikan and kind of found out a little bit more about their details of how the other schools run their specific drug testing scenarios, and I got a couple different scenarios for you based on some of the policies that we looked at from other schools, which is very similar. Cost per test is $17, and I did random, I did four different scenarios, so if we did bi-weekly, 10% of the current population that is participating in an activity, so all the ones that are actual in that activity at that present time, the highest portion that we've ever got to is about 103 student athletes going at one time, and we have about eight active, there's a portion of the year where we have eight activities going on at the same time. So if we do all the numbers, 103 would be kind of our maximum of what is participating at that present time. If we did a 10% test run bi-weekly at 10 tests every 2 weeks, the total cost would be $170 per week of the what we would test. Then the cost of the B sample, meaning that if a sample came out positive, we would take that B sample and send it up to Anchorage to get tested. And I did this scenario as of worst case scenario, meaning every single test came back positive, so we had to send every single test up to Anchorage. It'd be $50 when we gold streak a sample up there. So $500 for every test that got tested. If we did it bi-weekly with a 10% testing rate, it would cost us $16,000 a year. If we did a 5% testing of student athletes bi-weekly, would cost us $8,000 a year. That is worst case scenario, meaning every single sample came back positive and the B samples would be getting sent out as well because we would have to take on those costs of sending the B sample up to Anchorage. If we went weekly at 10% would be $32,000. And then if we went 5% in the weekly testing would be $16,415. So just some number samples to throw out at you, and that is all worst case scenario, meaning every single sample came back positive. They also give us the list of what they will be testing. They also choose the random the random names that we enter into the system. So the randomization of us choosing or the staff choosing, that is taken out of our hands. So that is given to TSS, and they run Junos and Ketchikan's, as well as Schoenbar Middle School, also test down in Ketchikan. So they also test down at Schoenbar Middle School as well. And they actually have people there, so they go in and do the testing for them. So none of the staff members do it. However, they could train us for free. So we could have three handlers here at the high school, and they would do all the training online for us at no charge, and would be $17 per kit, basically, is what the test would be. So, and that would be the A sample, B sample, all in that one kit if we needed to take those two samples. So just some numbers to throw out at you. They were very helpful on the phone talking with them. They do a nice job of they used to do Sitka School District's drug testing samples back in the day, and just very informational on all the stuff they gave us. So options are open, and kind of just, I know you wanted to see some numbers at least and kind of help decide those things. So absolutely.
About, so is the 5% and the 10%? Mm-hmm. What's your experience with that? Like, how many?
Some school districts are 10%. Some are 5%. Sitka, we always had 5%, just because of our population size. Mm-hmm. 10%, you test in a lot more of that 100 students participating at one time, and that's because you got a little bit smaller scenario going on. If we went off numbers this year, boys basketball, I think we had about 26 participants, girls basketball about 14, and then cheer had about 18, and those three, and then wrestling is going on at that same time, volleyball just about getting done, so you got about those six high school activities going on all about the same exact time, plus music, plus art, all on those at the same time as well. So and it's always been those students involved in a activity at that present time. So after volleyball season, if you had one student that only participated, say volleyball was their sport, when their season is over, they would be removed from the list of random choosing. So we wouldn't test every single student in the school. However, that could be an option. I don't know. So, but usually, typically, what we would do is just test the ones that are currently in season. So, and we've got, and with the weeks, and how I did the bi-weekly, basically, we have 49 weeks of high school activities. We start July 29th, and our last weekend of activities on our ASAA schedule is the first week in June. So we would start testing July 29th. When the first cross country kids come walking through the door, and everyone's still on summer, but we're running hard. And so, go ahead.
How do the other schools then handle music? Because you have the students are enrolled in mm-hmm. music.
Yep.
And I would, you know, some could elect not to go to Music Fest.
Correct. Yep. Some could elect not to go to Music Fest, and Music Fest is not technically an ASAA sanctioned event. It's a region 5
kind of
a big shindig. Not all the other regions do it, so that would be something that we could decide, but pretty much we've gone in the past, any activity that is representing the high school and is representing us basically would fall under that category, that they would be subject to the random drug testing on that piece too.
So when would they, like, their names be put in?
So Music Fest is kind of a iffy one, because that's mm-hmm. one event. Usually would be Pep Band. Pep Band would be the one to be put in, because they would be participating, and then they're eligible to go to Regions, to the Region 5 tournament. All state band members, and usually we'll just go off the ASAA eligibility list, because even with state band members, I still have to put them in our electronic eligibility system.
Mm-hmm.
The only students that do not go into my electronic eligibility system are students that are not participating in any activity whatsoever, mm-hmm. including art, and the arts and the sciences. Mm-hmm. National Ocean Science Bowl, we would put into that, because we use district funds and they're representing our school. So we just kind of pointing out which activities we would be, and it's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think we had 21 activities when you include high school, middle school, mm-hmm. total.
Because would Close Up then would also fall under that, wouldn't they?
Close Up could fall under that if we wanted to.
If you wanted, that would be a consideration.
That would be a consideration. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the schools do it, trying to think. I cannot remember if one school may do all of their students. I can't remember. But I can get that. I can get that information. So not many schools in Southeast are not doing it. I think there's maybe two. Metlakatla, I think, are the only two possibly not doing it. I think Haynes falls in that. Maybe Haynes doesn't do it either. But majority of of all of them are doing it, especially up north. It's okay. Yeah. So kind of a, and I think they do theirs weekly. Some school districts do it weekly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but, and it's a random day during that week. That way they can't kind of plan on it. They keep it random on, could be a Monday, next one could be a Tuesday, could be a Friday.
Okay.
Sunday, too, if we want. No, just kidding. Sundays. So, but yeah, then we would decide, you know, one male, one female, or get four people trained to do it if we, so. Any other questions?
So, who else?
No.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Would you like these numbers emailed to you? That way we can see them on a grid?
Sure.
Just going to see?
That's
okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Perfect. You gotcha.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we're on a new business, Community Comprehensive Plan. Shelley Wade from Agnew Beck Consulting will be reporting to us on the Thrones Comprehensive Plan. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. Do I need to go up to
the... Yeah, then it's nice because anybody listening can hear it.
Can you hear me okay?
I have a mic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That'll work. Oh, yeah, right there. Great.
Can I stand and talk into it kind of, sort of? Okay. Hello. Good? Okay. Yes. Thanks for putting us up in a really nice place today. We appreciate that.
All the hats, like you were talking about.
I know. I like the little teeth seats. Those are super cute.
Good.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much, School Board, for the opportunity to share an update with you on the Community Comprehensive Plan process and the Waterfront Plan process. I'm really going to focus most of my energy tonight on the Comprehensive Plan piece of our work, and mostly because the relevant sections relevant to the school district are captured within the Comprehensive Plan update. But some of you may be sitting here wondering a little bit more about kind of what is a Comprehensive Plan. And right before I share that, I'll just introduce the other person in the room here that's with me and part of our team, and that's Chris Beck. So we are part of the Agnew Beck, part of a fuller team that includes another company called Moffitt and Nickel, and they are focusing on the Waterfront Plan component of our work. And then another company called Northern Economics, you may have heard of those folks out of Anchorage, and they are focusing on really in the Waterfront Plan piece. We have a mortgage rate study, or kind of the fiscal sustainability piece of the Waterfront Plan. They're focusing on that effort. So we have a great team, and it's been, I think, an amazing process so far. We've really appreciated the opportunity to work with you folks directly. So the Comprehensive Plan update, the purpose of this document and the purpose of the plan is really to do the big job of guide any of your decisions over the next 20 years. So it provides the kind of high-level policy and strategies and actions that help provide you with the path forward. So it provides both kind of the context for why you've made those decisions and selected those goals and strategies. So what is the existing population? What are the trends in the population? What does school enrollment look like? What does that look like over the last 10 years or more? So all of that information is captured in this planning document that then sets forth some policy statements in different categories. I'm going to touch on those in just a moment. It also should do the job of accurately reflecting what you folks feel are the highest priorities. So many of you, and I hope, show of hands, how many people filled out the community survey that was distributed back in December? Okay, that looks pretty good. We had a great response rate. Over 300 folks responded. So that piece, plus the conversations we're having with different stakeholders, are really helping to inform and should be reflected in the plan. It should also help direct resources. So recurring theme and resounding theme in our conversations is funding, sustainability, funding of the school district, funding of different departments, funding of future projects, funding of the borough as a whole. So that's definitely should be reflected here. And then also to identify the role of the borough. So many folks still have questions. You're a newly formed borough. What does that mean? So there's an opportunity through this planning document to explain that, define it, give folks some background. and details, and also about how they can be involved. An understanding of community businesses and resources, a direction for the harbor and waterfront pieces that I mentioned. It also shares with other partners, state, federal, nonprofit, private sector partners, what your priorities are, and also helps you to better partner with them and potentially leverage resources that way. And then the one piece, so also describes a process for how the plan will be implemented and amended, but the one that I highlighted in red here is it really guides and orients existing and future community leaders, which I know is a part of the work that you do as a school district and as a school board that's making big decisions about the future of the school district, that this document in that way starts to set the stage for some of that decision making. So our planning process, as I mentioned, we started back in the fall, and we identified a planning team, and Erica is on that planning team, so we are very excited to have her as a part of that conversation. She's hearing me for the second time today. I know that's really exciting. And it's great. We have excellent representation on the planning team that really gives us a nice sweep and representation of the full community from different perspectives. So we purposely did that and purposely wanted to have Erica and anybody else from the education community that's interested in participating so that we were making sure that our process was informed by what's happening at the school district level and with our young folks. So we've done a lot of other background research. We did a community visit here in December and then launched the survey that I mentioned with 300 odd responses. And then through kind of the winter and spring, we've been back out in February and gone through this process of creating what you're looking at here today is the beginnings of a draft planning document. So what I passed out to school board members is the kind of high level by plan category goals and strategies. The plan itself will include a lot more detail, as I mentioned earlier, the background and context that sets the stage for these goals and strategies, and then also some discrete action items, so even more specific direction on potential projects or items or steps that you can take to be successful. So we're still in that drafting process. And so we're here this week meeting with folks like you, the school board. We met with the planning team this morning. We met with the planning commission this afternoon. We're meeting with the harbor board tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I have to remember all these things because there's a bunch of them. We're meeting with Rotary, so we're presenting to Rotary at noon tomorrow. We're also meeting with the borough assembly, so gathering those folks and doing an assembly session tomorrow evening. And then on Thursday, we're also meeting with the PEDC, the Economic Development Council, and let's see if I'm missing anybody, the Municipal Land Selection Committee. We're gathering those folks, so you're still in this process of inventorying and selecting lands from the state, very important part of the work we're doing. So bottom line is we're trying to get in front of and with and talking with as many community members as possible, and especially representative groups. You folks are representing a larger population of students and teachers and educators, administrators. So that is why we're here this week, to help shape that draft plan, get some more teeth on it, and then within the next couple of weeks, release it to the public for a full review. So I'm going to come back to that at the very end and talk about our next steps. But so you see the little "we are here" symbol. And thanks for rolling out the sunny weather. We appreciate that. That's great. And then also just the sheer volume of people that's already increased since we were here in December and February. We were mentioning to people, we got off the plane and did this kind of sideways shuffle in the airport versus having the whole airport to ourselves. So it's exciting to be here during the hustle bustle. I'm also planning a potential visit in July, so I'll come back to that as well so I can actually see you fully in the throes of summer activities. And then you see we hope to finalize the plan in October and then come back out for a final visit to share the final results with the community in October. So that's our process. Thought this was a fun slide to share with you guys. So one of the questions, as you probably recall if you did the survey, that we asked folks was, what makes the Petersburg Borough special? And this word cloud, it's called, so the larger words meant that that word was mentioned in the open-ended responses for this question, mentioned more frequently. So you see things like, what do you like about it? What makes it so special? Well, it's small, you know, it's about community, fish, people, school, town, place, nature, sense, beauty, active. Was it in our planning team meeting earlier? Someone realized that it also, dawn is very important in it. I don't know why that got mentioned enough times to make it onto this word cloud, but anyway, it's a little comedy in the fun mix. So anyway, we just thought this was a really good kind of quick snapshot of how do you capture kind of what's important to the folks in Petersburg. Well, here it is in a visual that helps you reflect on that a little bit. So what's in this comprehensive plan? So what are the different components? So as I mentioned earlier, there's a whole bunch of context. So beginning with a background chapter that really sets the stage, including here's what our population numbers look like. We have been on a steady decline. Here's what our senior population numbers look like. We've been on a steady incline. So what are the implications? So that helps us, again, understand the context and begin to set some broader goals and strategies for how to address some of these challenges and opportunities. And then we also talk about kind of school enrollment and how some of those numbers have shifted. What I saw most recently is that those numbers have shifted down. But then I also understand there's this new mix of like fewer graduating folks, but a larger influx of new students coming. The tide is shifting. I like it. Okay. So understanding all of that and getting your feedback on, are we understanding the context correctly and the numbers right? That's super important because that helps us then work together with you to formulate the right goals and strategies for the next 20 years and then shorter term over the next year to help you better plan. And then another chapter that's new for us that we are really excited about that I will just mention and share one piece of it because it does directly impact the work that we're doing related to the school is a chapter called Borough Management. In that chapter, our goal is really to communicate not only what are the roles and responsibilities of the borough, but also how can the borough better plan for the future, and also what does it look like? What does the borough budget look like? How does that work? Where does the money come from? Where does the money go to? Where do your property tax dollars go to? Where do sales tax dollars go to? And then the biggest takeaway is look how much money we get from the state of Alaska. Look how much money we get from the federal government. This is a big red flag as we understand right now the current funding climate. How does this impact our decisions as a borough, as a school district? So I've been working, and I'm looking forward to meeting with you, Erica, and Karen sometime this week to really talk about the budgeting part of the school district because we understand that that's been a major challenge as you're still trying to tidy up FY15 and get yourselves lined up for FY16. There's so many unknowns. I'm sure it's scary and frustrating, but you know, you have a bunch of young people that are ready to go to school and learn. And the one thing I would say is that in the surveys, in the conversations we've had with folks, I mean, almost undeniably, one of the first things people say, what do you like about Petersburg? What's important? Our schools. Excellent schools. We love our schools. We're proud of our schools. People come back 40 years later to be here at their reunion. So I saw reunion, high school reunions on the agenda for this week, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. It'd be fun to just watch that. So are any of you going? No. No high school graduates from Petersburg High School? Yes.
Just not a year.
Just that. Okay, got it, Sarah. Okay, cool. So that borough management piece is really important. So we want to make sure that we're working with the borough and setting the stage for them to be successful in the planning and being responsible with growing that tax base and figuring out what that tax base should look like in the future, which is related to the economic development piece. And then also doing some thoughtful spending. So as you identify your priorities, what are the things that are going to be a good investment for the community, and how are you going to pay for them? So then there's all these other other chapters, of which I'm going to breeze past very quickly, including land use and environment, transportation, housing, parks, recreation, and tourism, and economic development. It's not that they're unimportant, and I would really encourage all of you to read the broader framework document, and then definitely when the draft plan comes out, so that you have a full understanding of just how all of those pieces fit together. But each of those together is really speaking to how do you plan for the future of the community and how you do it in a comprehensive way. So you do it by looking at all the different functioning components of a community. So the one that I wanted to highlight for you folks today, and I believe it's on page, let's see, it is on page 3 of the handout that I just handed you, which is chapter 4 for public facilities and services. And I wanted to start by just sharing with you first, the broad goals that are there are really split into kind of 5 general categories: supporting seniors, quality health and wellness care, affordable, reliable energy, provide quality infrastructure, and excellent schools. So that's a big umbrella for a lot of very, very important critical services. So I'm going to pull out that excellent schools one and share with you guys just a little bit more of our kind of preliminary thinking. But starting with, for all of these and for the whole plan, I think our focus will be educating the public, educating our leaders, educating the borough staff on, you know, what is the fiscal reality that you're facing and how can you think together and collaboratively to develop long-term funding strategies for these things, these vital services that are so important to the community. So the one that we've highlighted again is excellent schools. So this is just a little snippet of what we're starting to pull together for the excellent schools category. So some specific strategies is first, just addressing some kind of longer term funding strategy. So the way we understand it is, so the secure rural schools funding is a significant component of your budget. And then potentially other state funding is a big component of your budget. What happens if both of those things goes away? What happens if one of them goes away? How can we strategically think, you know, together in the community and maybe with other partners about sustaining what you've established here as an excellent school system? So there's that one. And then there's one related to, this has come up I think multiple times, is how do you engage with young people and provide them with vocational opportunities or learning opportunities in the school system, in the school environment that will help develop their skill set for jobs. So some of our young folks may not be going to college when they leave school. So what opportunities are we providing them to, you know, hit that spark for them and let them think, okay, there is something actually that I can do, and it's this thing. It may not be going out of state or going to school somewhere else, but yeah, there's a skill set that I have, and if there's vocational training in the school that helps to bolster that and support that and really provide that skill, then that's great. And then partnering with the school district also to hire, so thinking about this from the borough lens, partnering with the school district to hire and retain qualified staff and leadership. Clearly that's already happened, right? Yeah, so continuing to do that. And then I definitely wanted to highlight this because I think work that I'm doing in a number of projects throughout the state, this group of young people from kind of the age of 16 to 24, or sometimes referred to as transition age youth, sometimes are not considered in a planning process. Or once you graduate from high school, well, you know, off you go and you're going to make your choices and you're an adult now and we're all done with you. So how can that not happen, or how can we make that transition into adult life an easier transition, and especially for kids that may be experiencing parts of life or developmental disabilities or things that make it difficult for them to make that transition. So this strategy is about addressing that type of activity or program that could really harness the talent that those young folks do have. And then supporting and continuing work, maybe in partnership with the school district, to continue education classes for adults and more activities and opportunities for youth. So this, again, is just a very preliminary sweep for us. We're starting to dig into the details. And I think what we would love to do is, once we have the draft plan available, to hand that back to you folks and have you especially look at our background and our data and our context related to the school, school district, related to education in general, and then have you look specifically at the goals, strategies, and actions that we've identified. Because I was going to mention, and maybe I'm just about done here, that what we hope is that we also are able to, out of all of these different priorities or potential priorities, identify a subset for an annual work plan that would be updated annually by the borough that is their priority actions. And I imagine that there's a subset related to the school district that goes into that first set. So that would be part of our next process. And then related to that, we want to put in the plan some mechanism for tracking progress. So I think a bunch of folks are still like, what the heck is this comprehensive plan? I think if we start to put some more teeth on it and make it, you know, more measurable or quantitative, that people have a better sense of, okay, the money that you invested and the things you're doing are having whatever XYZ impact. That'll be easier to bring folks on board. So maybe the last thing is just kind of our plan. As I mentioned, releasing the draft plan within the next couple of weeks. There's a public review period that we're anticipating right now will be through June 30th. And then, as I mentioned too, that we're really hoping that you guys can get a hold of one section or more to take a look at it through the school district lens and provide us your specific feedback. Then we're going to revise and finalize a plan through, you know, from July through October. We're planning a tentative fourth community visit in July to come back and hear more feedback from you guys. And then finalize it, come back out to celebrate in October. And then implementation, that's sort of forever. And maybe even beginning before the plan is completely finalized. So I realize that as we're talking and having these discussions, some action is already being taken because people naturally through the dialogue are thinking of things that need to happen today and tomorrow and not, you know, in October when the plan is released. So that is the quick overview. So I'm excited to continue the dialogue with you guys and to work with Erica directly through the planning team and then have conversations with Karen too to better understand the constraints and challenges you're dealing with the budget. And so how to translate that, like this infographic that we have here, how do we translate that into something that the public and residents get and understand? And especially as they put schools at the top of their list, how can we just do a good job of educating them so they're willing to make that investment, maybe in ways that they haven't yet? Mm-hmm. So thank you for the opportunity. You guys have any questions for us? Or
thank you.
No, thank you very much.
If I could, I'd throw in just a complete thought, which is I think it's challenging to think of any of these subjects in isolation, like the schools and then mm-hmm. land use. And for some reason, I was sitting here doing a little diagram, and a sequence that follows in my mind is great schools. Okay, what does that link to? That links for reasons for people to move to or stay in Petersburg. It's a powerful reason. And that potentially sets up a situation where some of the programs the school can help offer or seed maybe provide people with the opportunity to do careers that fill in gaps in the opportunities in Petersburg. We heard a lot today from folks at one of the local fish processing places about the need for marine services, welders, electricians, things that there's a demand for, but people aren't offering those services here. So maybe if that happens, suddenly then you have more people who can actually make a decent living in the town and do so, and then they maybe own a house or they shop in town, which generates property tax and sales tax, which helps keep the school a great school. And that kind of sequence shows how a lot of these things are fitting together in this plan, sort of the challenge and the interest of doing this process, and why we're pleased to talk to you, and how the schools are such a key point in many cycles like that. So.
Well, and then maybe adding a caboose to your caboose, that one of the things that came up today was there are some folks in Petersburg that have a couple dollars. So they are willing to invest those dollars, but are wondering, okay, what's the right investment? How do I invest? And one of the things that they're interested in or there's potential is the school. So is there some type of endowment or trust or something that could be a new or different financial mechanism for again, garnering that type of, it's a new and different way of getting support that's not property tax, and it's not state funding, it's not federal funding, that could really give people like, okay, this is my personal connection to this high school that I graduated to. I love this place. I want future generations to have the same type of experience. Here's my 20 grand, yeah. Or here's my whatever it is. So I know it's kind of it's a big thing. It's going to take some investigating, but it's also an exciting one because it makes it personal for people. So all of a sudden they're having this personal investment that's different than, you know, writing your tax bill to the borough. So.
And the real light on the second caboose is the notion that maybe the borough has land, and in the same way the Mental Health Trust or the university manages its land statewide to provide sports and those services, maybe some of the borough land, the new selection they have, might be dedicated to help fund the schools going forward. Which would put more land in private ownership, which generates more property tax. So you can see we're chewing on this whole funding issue. We're not trying to be apocalyptic, but we are seeing the possible need for supplemental sources of funding going forward. And we don't want to be over-involved in your business. So by any means, if it seems like we're being overly enthusiastic, we have Erica to thump us if we're getting carried away. But so many people have said so many things about the importance of schools to this community that it's become a focus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next on the agenda is the Indian Education Grant. The Indian Education Grant Committee has met and will report on their plans and provide an opportunity for feedback. Is that you, Superintendent?
It is. It's Mr. Cabral and I, Mr.
Okay.
Dormer, Mr. Brock. There's all kinds of people involved. Anyway, I think I can do it. So this is one of the requirements for the Indian Education Grant. Title VII is a federal grant, is to have a public hearing. And so, and that's a new requirement. And this is a new world for me, figuring out all the world problems dealing with grants. So anyway, so what we actually did, and we've always had a parent committee for Indian education in the community here, and we've always done that. But we wanted to expand that a little bit. We've invited a few more kids to be involved, and we actually met with some of them today, some middle and high school, which was really helpful, I think. We've talked with some of the parents that have been on the Indian Education Committee in the past. And really, to be honest, the plan for next year is pretty much set at this point. Funding-wise, it's worth about $30,000. And at this point, what we have focused on the last few years and what we will focus on one more year is we've actually utilized some of the funding to help support Mr. Cabral's support of students and also Ms. Etcher. And does it sound funny?
Sorry, just turn you up real
quick. Oh, great.
I don't know.
Sorry, there's people walking out there. I just wasn't sure. Anyway, so that distracted me a little bit.
I think it distracted
so
us all.
The focus the last few years through this grant has been focused on supporting our Native students locally, academically. And so we have focused actually, and there's certain criteria that certain categories of the funding and of the way that it works that you can select, and that has been the focus the last few years, has been focused on academic support, tutoring support, just really making sure that we're following up with any of our Native students and making sure that they're on track, really, is what we've done academically. We've looked at attendance, we've focused on graduation rates, post-secondary, what kinds of plans people have, and we're pleased to say that the results have been really good. So I think we're actually starting to think even a little bit broader at this point for different sorts of cultural activities for our Native students and doing more partnering with PIA, which we have done in the past, but they obviously have had some different reorganization things too the last few years as we have. So anyway, I've had some really good conversations with some of their board members, and I think we're all set to move forward there with some great plans that we can partner. And we have some really excited young people who gave some great ideas today, and we talked about Native Youth Olympics today, and we talked about the possibility of really doing something like that here in our community and what that might look like. And anyway, it was great talking about leadership opportunities in the state, youth elder conference in Anchorage. Not saying that that can happen right away, but I mean looking down the road to try to build the capacity for leadership in our Native students. So it was great. It was a great planning meeting. So that's getting turned in this week, and then we are actually setting up some regular meetings next year. We want to do a little bit more regular planning. That's what we want to do. So that's the plan for that.
Great, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next on the agenda is the 2015 through 2020 People Transportation Bid Award. It was due on Friday. The bids were May 8th at 3 p.m., and the district received one response. So I'll make a motion to award the 2015 through 2020 Petersburg People Transportation Contract to Stikine Services in the amount of $1,138 total daily cost. Can I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and second. Is there any discussion? I know that the Stikine Services has been a long-time contractor of the district and has done really well at providing it.
They've done excellent work for us. I've worked with them most the whole time that I've been here at the elementary school as well. And Kurt Burchill does a great job. He's very responsive. They are very helpful. They work with us on being creative with things like kindergarten bus runs. And that was something that we added, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, and we just figured it out, and they worked with us on it. They're really responsive. If there's any issues or situations with kids, they've helped out with activities. They're really flexible, and part of the reason, some of the cost that's coming in here, too, is actually they are purchasing a new bus, and it is an ADA-compliant bus with a lift, and which we need, so we're bearing some of the cost for that. We have some students that will need that in the future, so, yeah.
Okay.
We're really happy with their service.
What percentage of our students ride the buses?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't answer it straight out. I mean, it's because a lot of kids will ride one way and not the other. They have certain number of bus runs that are different, like the kindergarten bus run runs Monday through Thursday, and it's a separate run, and sometimes there's 8 kids on there, and sometimes there's 15 kids on there. I can get those numbers for you, though. That's a good question. I don't think I know that.
And is most, if not a good portion of our contract is reimbursed by the state, at least at this point?
Yes, it is.
It doesn't get axed?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yep, the state does reimburse it. It won't cover the whole cost of this contract this year, but that's partially due to the ADA compliant issues. Mm-hmm. But we do feel like we have capital dollars that we can put toward that planning for next year and the next few years, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I will find out what our percentage is, though. That's a good question.
Any other questions? Okay. Sharon, could you call?
Mara Lipinski?
Yes.
Shepard?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next up, we have informational. It looks like it's the topic of the grades. We have AR 5121, which is grades and evaluation of student achievement, and AR 5127, which is administrative regulations, graduation ceremonies and activities. And Principal Dormer, would you like to kind of give us an overview?
Sure. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Joe really wants to hear us talk.
Yeah. Terrible scene. Thanks for letting me sit here. I just wanted to walk through the changes. And these are very draft form, and this is something that was started in the fall with the previous superintendent, and there's some good changes, and they've continued to change throughout the year. And what I went with the policy, and I know I talked to Sarah earlier too, that there's a couple of discrepancies. We're certainly in a draft, and we have not met yet with students, and that's on the calendar for Wednesday the 20th. I met with my student government in the high school, our student government in the high school, and just said what's a good time and what's a good setting, and just kind of do a working lunch for students. And this was promised to them by the previous superintendent, and I have intended all year long to make sure that we fulfill that promise, because it's really, really interesting to hear what the students have to say, and I know they have thoughts on these changes to the grading and determination of valedictorian, salutatorian, and historian. So this is without the student input. We have received some parent input in the past, and we're going to go out just with a survey to start off with and just get some input from parents yet, and we'll have that out hopefully by early next week, just get some ideas. Our goal is just to have this in place the beginning of next school year, whatever changes we decide to make. And some of these seem very minor, and hopefully we'll go through without a pass. And some of them are a little controversial, and we'll talk more about them. But the goal is to start the next school year. We always have the first week or so in both middle school and high school where kids get a student handbook, and they look through it and talk about changes, and they sign it, and they take it home from mom and dad, and they're always on the website. And so we want to, at that point, that's kind of our notification, and as well as an assembly where we talk about things. So that's the goal for the timeline. So very draft. In fact, you'll see some mistakes here and there, and that's okay. We're still working on it. One of the easiest changes, if we're looking at 5121, you see the board policy of 5121 is not being changed, so none of these changes, they're all none of these changes are in board policy. They're all administrative reg changes, so it won't require the three readings, but we're certainly working on them together. I don't want to feel like we're just going to go ahead and do what we want. The first page on 5121, I've tried to highlight everything, and this is mostly just showing the addition of plus or minus grading. Right now, our board policy does not list it in 4th through 8th grade or in the high school as allowing plus or minus grading. If we're all being very honest, we've been using plus or minus grading in the middle school, and I think in the couple of the older grades in elementary school. It doesn't affect a transcript or GPA for college admittance or anything like that at that point. And it's just something we've been doing, but it wasn't in our administrative reg, so we're adding that, as well as we'd like to add it in high school. And the staff is all very, very, very supportive of that. And the high school is adding that, and that adds some calculations and changes there as what that would look like. We are at this point, and as we draft talk about it, is allowing teachers to set those. I am not a proponent of setting a flat scale that says every single teacher, an A is 90%, and an A minus is, you know, this. But I know some folks think that should be the way it is, and some don't. So I know we have staff that are very vocal about, don't tell me how to set my grade scale. You can tell me some things. And we have some staff that say, well, it confuses kids. I think there's great arguments, and this will probably be a discussion that we'll go on for a little while here to talk about. But as it is set right now, we have not standardized what, you know, 92% is an A minus, anything like that. We've just said if you get an A minus, that means it's a 3.7 instead of a 4.0 on your GPA calculation. Scrolling down there, throwing in a date that's come up with discussion, this will be a good discussion, is beginning the plus or minus grading makes sense with next year's freshmen, obviously, because that's something you can earn all 4 years and can't start that in the middle of their high school career. So it says in highlight, student transcripts include both the weighted and non-weighted GPA. They do right now. I think we're just, that's more of a clarification. All student transcripts show what their weighted GPA is and what their non-weighted is. If we're scrolling down, the no grade is something we've discussed and added in there. We have two students just this year that's come up that have severe medical conditions, have been unable to complete a course. And as of right now, we have only allowed A through F and an incomplete. I think we talked a little about this. And it's just not, something has come up and neither of these kids complete the class. And not only is that not really fair to give them, well, we're going to make it a C, even though we finish it, or call it incomplete, which technically has to be changed to a grade. It's also, they're protected under federal 504 legislation, and we can't penalize them by giving them, give them an F because you didn't really do it. I know you couldn't be here. So the no grade will allow us, and it'll be very strict. It isn't for a kid this size to drop chemistry, but this is for kids who usually severe medical issues, can't complete a course in that way. You can't remove it from transcript because they did enroll and get past the 2 weeks, but we can't assign these weird grades. So this allows a no grade just to kind of show they're there, maybe some explanation or something if someone were to request it on a transcript, but that's the point of no grade. Any questions on the no grade? Does that make sense? Okay. Right beneath that little tiny yellow, that withdraw from classes, it used to say a student who drops a course after the first 6 weeks of the semester. That's too long, and we've begun actually working on it 2 weeks for a while, so now we're putting it in the AR saying that students in the high school, when they start a class, and within the first 2 weeks, chemistry's not for me, I'm going to go take a shop class or whatever, that's great, but after 2 weeks, they need to be in there, and if they want to do it at 6 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever, it's a withdrawal fail, and that's very standard with high schools and colleges. The last page of AR21, the selection of Alaska Scholars. I would love to hear this story. Rachel says this is very bad what we had in there, and we would actually get in a lot of trouble from the Alaska University system if we allowed to poll our students and said who was going to Alaska schools and who wasn't and changing it. I kind of wish we could do that because it would be better use of the money, but they don't allow us to do that. It's just our top 10%, which usually three or four kids are selected as Alaska Scholars. If they go, that's great, and if they don't, then that money is not put to good use. So, any questions on AR 5121? Proposed changes, again, just a draft, still some to talk about.
With your teachers, can one teacher give all A's or all C's, or I mean, do they have to have a range of grades when they grade, or do you leave it up to them?
You mean, could they give?
Like a PE teacher gives all A's to everybody. Can the whole class have A's?
I guess they could if they've earned it. They have to have data to support their grades.
Oh, okay.
And we ask them, and they store those in PowerSchool, and they're stored every year. So, yeah, they would have to have data, but I guess, yeah, you could.
Okay.
The one that comes up a lot, one of our very veteran teachers, very loved and is fantastic. He has a different, his A is a little bit higher, and he does this by allowing a lot of retakes and such, but it's not a 90%. And I know some people say, well, that's not fair. And some people say, well, that's fine. It's what he does because he allows some kids to retake because the idea is, you know, you want to learn the material, so he'll then retake tests or quizzes and that kind of stuff. So it's something he justifies. That's been the more controversial of those.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Switching over to AR-51227, and I'm sorry, I either gave Sharon the wrong copy. There is a more updated one, so it's on the website. I can walk you through what you have. It's just a paragraph, so it's not too bad. I apologize for that. AR-51227, first of all, the first one that says second semester, this is a significant change and would be great to discuss with students. I'm sure parents will chime in. Currently, right now, it is during, as at the first semester, we decide who our valedictorian, salutatorian, historian, the first semester of their senior year. And this was something we worked on with the previous superintendent, and she was also very supportive of second semester. The difficult thing actually really is a lot of it falls on the teachers. Can they grade fast enough? The seniors, you know, end a little bit sooner, so it does give them a little bit of time. And then when they're selected, it only gives them maybe about a week or so, technically, although I think a majority of students probably have a pretty good feeling who's going to be what. We talked to Wrangell. They don't have it set down, really. They kind of said they kind of decide around May, and a lot of kids know, and they kind of talk about it in early May. So it's possible in other schools are doing it. One of our math teachers chimed in with this, that he's a proponent of all of them because if you're doing it by the first semester, you're actually only grading 87.5%, which ironically is a B of them, which I thought was very clever. Yeah, that's your statistics, exactly. So it's something to talk about, but I like that because it is their full career. It is, we've had a lot of students, some of our brightest have certainly pushed themselves really hard and then, I don't want to say coasted, but taken a little bit easier last semester because they were already the, salutatorian or whatever, and that was okay. They achieved what they wanted to, but I like this change. It'll take some working to figure out the timing and allowing students and families to be notified, but it's something we're talking about. And then, I'm sorry, so I've highlighted the end. Yours says weighted. That should say unweighted for right now. That is a discussion because as of right now, that selection is based on an unweighted GPA. So right now, it's just a 4.0 scale. And then that last sentence there that sets alone should be highlighted, and that is also up to discussion there, determining using that weighted grade point. This is something you may remember we talked about in the fall, even last spring. We have with the class of 2017, there's also been a lot of talk about the class of 2019. Just to start it with the plus-minus grading, that's probably the popular vote. But the class 2017 is what we originally talked about in the fall because we don't have any freshmen, sophomores that take AP classes right now. And so if we started with next year's juniors, then that would put everyone on a flat scale right now, starting at the same place. So something to talk about and something to hear what students and parents will say as well. So. I think the handbook, and I apologize for that discrepancy, says 2019. So we have to figure that out before the beginning of the fall. Does that make sense on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on 5127?
So currently on this one that's in this packet, it says 2017 for...
Yeah.
But in the handbook, it says 2019.
In the handbook, this paragraph or this information is in the student handbook for the high school, and it says 2019, yeah.
Okay.
But on these are on the front page of our school website because we're talking about it, and you have a reference point for parents and students as we start meeting with them. And the correct one that where the first paragraph says unweighted, that's in there, and then highlighted still better. So sorry about that. Questions right now on the two policies? Okay, again, we got a student meeting coming up, really excited about that. If we need another one, we'll have another one, and then we'll get some information out to parents and get their feedback as well, because it's important to talk to lots of people about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I guess we're moving on to the high school student's handbook. We'll be reviewing high school, middle school, as well as Stedman Elementary. So we can start with Mr. Dormer, if you have anything you wanted to highlight at all.
For
the high school or
Midcoff
middle school?
High school.
as I mentioned in my report there, we are going to try, next year we're going forward with it and get a little more staff discussion, but the idea in the high school of checking for academic eligibility every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Mr. Pearl's on board. Teachers are excited about it. They're on board with that. So that is a change in the handbook now that'll go out there, assuming nothing crazy comes up in our next discussions about it, as opposed to 4 weeks, excuse me. And we will still continue to have regular semester checks, mid-quarter grades, and those will be grades for everything. These will be eligibility that will be done by coaches and the activities director every 2 weeks. So it will be a little bit extra grading for teachers to kind of make sure they're up as much as they can be, but at the same time, it's good. It's good for the kids and the activities. Another change, I don't know if we've talked about that. I believe we did. The Social Studies Committee being in review down on the graduation requirements. We're not changing the graduation requirements. but we are offering this with this AP European History. We did talk about this last meeting. And so we're moving World History to now is available to, we'll have a 9th grade and a 10th grade class because we want Social Studies now to be something that freshmen take, and then their sophomore year can be either an AP or history or a chance to take these electives again so they can get 4 years for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. So that's something new you might hear people talking about, because typically we have not had a social studies course for freshmen, and we do only require 3 years to graduate. Paragraph from the spell, Victorious Salutatorian. There is, and the last thing, if you hear about it, VHS, Virtual High School, which we have about 20 seats to offer for kids to kind of expand our course offerings at a small school. They have started charging a fee for students that wish to take an advanced placement course to do them. I think it's $75. Anyone? Anyway, and so we are letting kids know that's in the handbook now, and families know that's not, so the school doesn't. We pay for the VHS, which is fairly expensive, but families do have to pay the $75 or $80 if their students wish to take an AP course through VHS. That's something new in the handbook. And that's all the changes in the high school handbook.
And not all of us through VHS are AP, though.
No, not very many are at all.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything unique to point out for Mid-Cof Middle School? Maybe? It seemed pretty...
Yeah, not too bad. We've tightened up a little on the student council, making sure if kids are going to serve and lead, that they're passing on their class and, you know, really being exemplary. That wasn't in there before, and most of the time it's great. But just tightening up on that. A little bit with the middle school athletic eligibility, just kind of rephrasing how often we're checking, and then making sure they're attending the day before they leave on a trip. Although similar stuff from the high school wasn't very well worded in there before. I think that's it. We've updated. I didn't highlight that. I'm sorry. We updated with the plus or minuses for the middle school, which again was something they're currently doing, but it wasn't reflected in the AR or the handbook. But students are rewarded with those. And the no grade classification is added to the middle school as well, so we have a student in there that could use that this year.
Okay.
And that's it.
Mr. Ball, was there something like
that? Okay.
Thank you.
Principal Tolan, do you want to address the elementary, Sedmund Elementary, if there were any significant changes? I didn't notice any, but...
There were. Basically, what I did was just went through and updated some names.
Yeah,
and
that's what
we'll
I saw,
continue
too.
To do that as we know those names. So.
Okay, thanks.
As they come on.
And middle school, high school, coaches handbook. I didn't notice anything of significance there either. Mr. Cabral or Principal Dormer, do you want either one?
Appendices in the back, just on appendices. And then we will decide more once we know what budgets look like.
That's true.
Yes. So.
Okay.
A lot up in the air.
Yeah. So nothing for the public to be.
No.
Okay.
Everything pretty simple.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to now our technology handbook review. Instructional Technology Director John Clute Painter will explain what's going on with the handbook for next year.
All right.
Best dressed elementary.
All right. Well, the tech committee met a couple of times this year, discussed the goals of the tech plan, and we also discussed other things such as 20. Being able to instruct students that move to our schools and bring them up to speed. We live in, you know, and teach in an environment that's just so digitally rich, as I'm sure you all know. And what we were finding is our new students were they were coming in overwhelmed, and there wasn't a support structure in place to really help them out. Most of our tech standards are met through classroom instruction, and we target 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Work together with Ms. Tice, myself, and Mrs. Cotta to work on things that will help support students in this digital environment in the high school. And so we change and adapt and adjust, find out what the high school needs, and try to drive that curriculum. So if a student shows up to our school as a freshman and misses those, then we see sometimes that they'll struggle. And so what we built into the tech plan on the acceptable use agreement is 24/7 access requirements for students. So we'll work to put together a course, an online course, that teaches those key elements that students will take once they have successfully passed those requirements in this course. Then they'll be granted 24/7 access of the hardware, which will help in both the care of the laptops, knowing how to take care of them so there's less damage, and protecting them online, which we're really passionate about making sure that that happens. This can also be used for students who maybe need a refresher. They need to, you know, go over some of the digital citizenship components or even the hardware components. What we hope to do is have, and you'd see in the language there that refer to Appendix F and a certificate. That one is, it's in progress. Ms. Cotta and I are working together to co-teach that Moodle class. Well, it won't be Moodle, it'll be on Canvas, our new learning management system. And then it'll be one of those that's self-directed, and we'll be the instructors of record, and those new students can check in with us, and we can monitor and help support them. So that's really a big change that came from several of our technology meetings and the conversations we had. If anybody has questions for me.
Okay. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have is the district survey. On our master calendar, we have to do a district survey, and I believe we have that out.
Resignations.
Oh, I skipped right over that. Well, maybe it's because I don't want them to know. Resignation, sorry. The board recognizes the resignation of Krissa Smith, instructional assistant, effective May 12, 2015, and Anna Larson, instructional assistant, effective the end of the school year, 2014-15, is accepted by Superintendent Clint Painter on behalf of the board per board policy 4117.2. And I'd like to point out that Anna committed 23 years to the district. That's really appreciate all that she's done for the students, including my kids, mm-hmm. especially my youngest right now in school that's learned to read with her help. So, yeah. Thank you. Okay, now on to the district survey. So, do you want to go ahead and report?
I can do it.
Okay.
So currently on the school district website, and actually I think also sent out last Friday in the bulletins from all the schools, there is an online survey that we put out every year to get feedback from community members and parents about all the schools and how, if they have any opinions or thoughts or recommendations or commendations, those are always helpful too. And we do value that feedback. It's important. It's a requirement of the No Child Left Behind legislation, but it's also just important. It's just good practice. And I always appreciated the feedback as a principal, too. It's just good information. And even if there are problems or concerns, then you know about them, so you can address them, too, which is really helpful. So anyway, it's on there now, and we'll accept them through May. So if people want to get online, it doesn't take too long, I don't think. Maybe like
pretty quick.
5 minutes, 8 minutes,
yeah,
something.
Tops.
I think it'll be pretty quick. So we do appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we've got just a more of a reminder, make sure, see if any and all of the board members can attend high school graduation. Is anybody not able to on June 3rd? Okay, I guess we'll let the public know. We'll all be there. Okay, any additional comments from board members before we... Yes,
I have.
Sure.
I'm sorry, it's towards Jamie about the drug testing. I'm sorry I didn't ask it before. I was wondering about what the feedback is, what you feel the feeling is in the high school, middle school, kids, teachers, parents, has anybody said?
I think
and
a couple of the, yeah, talking with our coaches, I brought it up at our last coaches meeting that we had, and it's pretty positive just to make sure, you know, that we're all on the same page as far as what drug testing would look like. Very supportive for a lot of the information. We're definitely in a drug testing world. We've got a lot of students going on to colleges to participate in athletics, and that is a requirement that they do in their list of things that they can and cannot have in their body, and they're responsible for what's in their body. The list is like 3 pages long for the NCAA, and you know they need to double check, and they can't even take NyQuil. Some of the things on there, some people use for different things. Ephedra, which is another one that kind of went off. Creatine was another one that kind of went off. So just it kind of helps the students stay a little bit more healthy, be a little bit more responsible about what they put in their body, because it is theirs to take care of, and they just want to make sure that they're keeping them healthy. A lot of the coaches and a lot of community members that I've talked to, it's a deterrent for them, gives them an out if they're in a situation that they feel uncomfortable in. It's just, I'm in season right now, numb, don't really want to partake in those activities. Kind of gives them that peace and kind of get rid of that peer pressure. Gives them basically just an answer that they can give instead of some of the other situations that happen in those tough spots. So it's common. I can't think of, there's a ton of places nowadays that when they're working, I think they are subject to random drug testing as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of professionals now, a lot of professional businesses, private businesses, where it is mandatory that they have random drug testings there. So I think we're kind of in that world almost, kind of a shift in the last couple of years and long time. So just to keep our kids safe. So it's been good.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Future agenda items. Can you do that?
I just want to remind the board, especially I think Sarah was handing them out, there's a, going back to that last, the graduation, there's a practice usually right at, I think it's 3:00.
Oh, yes, that's
yeah,
right.
That day off, so it's really great to be there. And it's, and the
yeah,
stands aren't
full
at that point, so it's a really good time to kind of see how it's
in the high school gym.
Is that 3 p.m. sir?
No, you can come if you want.
Yeah,
to the practice.
Can come, but people, I can't remember how many board members involved at the handing and the... And no superintendent's talking.
Oh, okay.
Maybe just
yeah,
so,
that would be me. I'm used to just sitting.
Announcing, yes.
Oh, I'm
going
to do that.
Okay. Could you give me the middle name?
I like to do that.
Yeah.
I know.
I know. Yay, I could do that. That's a good job for me. We can, if you want to. Or we can add it then for... yeah, we can. If you want to.
I don't know.
Anything else? No? Okay, I make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and second. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Good evening, everyone.